the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Now, 53,185 babies were born in Ireland last year. But that compares with 67,263 in 2014. So 14,000 plus fewer in 2024 than in 2014. If you look back over 11 years, a new HSE report shows that the country's birth rate has fallen by 20%. Why is this? Why does it matter? So we're going to talk in a moment to Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist of the Institute of International and European Affairs. But first, Dr. Carmel Hannan is an Associate Professor at the Department of Sociology at the University of Limerick. Do we know why it is that fewer babies are being born into an Ireland where, as it happens, the population in that same decade has gone up very strongly?
Yes, but we have an ageing population as well, Matt. There's been a lot of international evidence around this, very little on the Irish case, and it's been linked to two major things, economic developments and cultural changes. So one is the increase in access to education for women and their increased labour market participation, which means they're postponing getting married and or having children. And the longer you postpone, the lower the family sizes. And the second kind of relates to changes in culture, particularly about children. So an economist, Gary Becker, once said what we're doing, we're emphasizing the quality of children rather than the quantity now. So we're investing more in fewer kids. So the cost has gone up because we just spend more time on their development. And there are some of the reasons that we see it, but it's also related. High income countries have seen larger falls in fertility rates, and then countries where women are supported in their decisions around childcare, they have lower falls, still falling, but not as the same level.
But Carmel, if we're a higher income country, why is it that people then decide that they can't afford to have children? How much of it might be linked to, for example, the cost of housing? And they say that if they can't afford to buy, or if they're paying exceptionally high rents, that they feel that they can't afford to have children.
Yeah, so risks, any sort of risk in your life impairs long-term decisions like having kids. So longer time in education, the delayed transition to adulthood, which the literature calls it. So it's taking young people longer to buy their first car, to get their first house or their first apartment, to get their first long permanent contract. And all of those mean you postpone having kids. And that's what's going on. It's not really decisions around, I don't want to have kids because of climate change. The evidence wouldn't say that's really driving this. It's more postponing due to that precarity in young people's lives.
But the longer you postpone, then the less likely you are to have a larger number of children.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's also cultural norms. So we've seen changes in values and attitudes and preferences for kids. So most people don't want large families now like they did in the past. And with increased access to contraception, women can control more effectively the number of kids they're having. So these are all good changes in people's lives. But what very recent research just published a couple of weeks ago was looking at the kind of interaction between income and gender roles. So what hasn't changed is that we see in Ireland a persistence of traditional gender roles. And that leads to sharp fertility decline, where women are left disproportionately to do all the care work, which is undervalued, invisible, or unvalued altogether. So a lot of the literature is pushing that we can. Some people believe you can reverse this trend, but most believe you can slow it down if you invest in subsidies for childcare, in the housing market, and in supports for women broadly around care.
Now, we have Dan O'Brien with us as well, Chief Economist at the Institute of International and European Affairs. 53,185 babies born last year. Has it ever been as low in the history of the state? Well, maybe it was maybe in the 1950s when we had mass emigration and we'd only 3 million people living in the country.
No, I don't have, excuse me, Matt, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I would very strongly suspect that that was the lowest ever. As you say, it's been coming down. It peaked at about 75,000 in 2010. So we've had this 25% reduction in the number of annual births. I would suspect that this is the lowest level because back in the 50s, people were still having big families. So I would think it is the lowest we've ever had. But it's part, as Carmel is saying, it's part of a global trend. You know, we see this even in India. The birth rate in India today is what it was in Ireland 10, 12, 15 years ago. So we're seeing it everywhere across the world. The only part of the world that really is still growing in population is Africa. More and more countries in the rest of the world are now seeing deaths outnumber births every year. So it's a global phenomenon, and it's never happened before in history outside, you know, massive pandemics or illnesses and wars. So we're really in a very new environment demographically.
Are we below what they call the replacement rate?
We are below the replacement rate. So that's an average 2.1 children per woman. We've gone way below that now.
I think we're at 1.5, aren't we?
We are. We're coming into line with the rest of Europe. But, you know, there are parts of the world where it's below one, particularly in East Asia. And again, as Carmel was saying, that seems to be related to Asian women having to do the domestic work and deciding it's just too much. So the replacement, the fertility rate in parts of Asia is now below one, which is quite extraordinary.
Listener says, Adrian, we have three children, but only because we moved out of Dublin. If we'd stayed, we only would have had one, maybe two. So is it, you think, Dan, a case as well that a lot of adults now believe they just can't afford to have as many children as perhaps their parents and grandparents would have had?
I don't buy that argument, because generally across the world people are more prosperous than they were in the past. Now again, as Carmel was saying, the cost, people tend to, you know, what's acceptable in terms of how much we invest in children has risen now. So perhaps as a proportion of your income, we spend more per child than we used to, and people are making trade-offs. But my hunch is, and you know, there's a great debate around this, that this is more a cultural phenomenon than an economic phenomenon. People are deciding to have fewer children because they have other opportunities and other things to do. And that, for my hunch, is what's driving it, rather than people feeling they don't have the money to have bigger families.
And yet, Carmel Hannan, we have a bigger population than we've ever had in the Republic since it was established over 100 years ago. How is that explained solely by immigration?
Not solely.
I go to Carmel and not Dan.
Migration trends, inward migration has increased in recent years, but we also have, this is a product of the baby boom in the 60s and 70s. So we're going to see our population decline from about 2050. Dan will know more. So, projections around when we'll see the reversal, a really significant reversal. Are done by the economists. it's an aging population is problematic, but also one where you have lower fertility rates in terms of who's going to look after us as we get older, who's going to pay the tax bills and all of that. So there's implications for this. And a lot of countries are now looking at policies to deal with the consequences of this, rather than to reverse the trend, but how do we deal with the consequences of it? In Ireland, I suppose the one thing we have done is we've increased the retirement age. And that's one reason, is to have people work longer so that they pay more, they're contributing more tax for longer to kind of help with the shortfall that we'll see in coming years.
Okay, Dan O'Brien, your take on what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, look, just the OECD today came out with its pensions report. Ireland's one of the few countries that isn't planning on putting up the pensions, the retirement age. It's 66. It was going to go up to 67. People may remember there was a bit of a controversy about that, and that was shelved.
That was at the time of the 2020 general election, when there was uproar about it.
Indeed. Ireland is now unusual. In the most extreme case, I think it's Denmark, they're looking at 74. as the retirement age out in the future. So as I say, most countries are doing this, and we're going to have to do it. We're really going to have to do it. Another reason we're going to have to do it, Matt, is because Ireland is unusual in that when you retire, we've got one of the biggest drops in income. Okay, so the money we get from pensions is lower relative to salaries than nearly every other country. Now, one way of dealing with the so-called pensions time bomb is to reduce the amount of pensions. Given that Ireland is already at the lower end of that, we're very much going to have to look at saving, which the auto-enrollment thing is a very positive development, and we're going to have to look at raising the retirement age, as most countries are doing.
Except that's not politically easy to do, is it?
It's certainly not, as we saw in 2020, when that issue became live during a general election campaign. All the politicians ran scared, and we reversed the planned increase to 67. Demographically, that is just not going to be sustainable. It will not be fair that you will have a shrinking group of working age people spending more and more and more for pensions for older people. So this is just going to become an issue over time. And, I think we should look at it in the positive sense that we're living longer, healthier lives. When pensions were first introduced more than 100 years ago, people got a pension at 65 and they were dead within 3 years on average. Now people are living, into their 80s. I think the average age is close to 80 now, our average lifespan. So we have longer lifespans, which is great. Life's a precious thing, but we are going to have to pay for it one way or the other.
Dan O'Brien, Chief Economist for the Institute of International and European Affairs, Dr. Carmel Hannan, Associate Professor in the Department of Sociology at the University of Limerick. Thank you.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.